You would have heard me on this show over the past couple of weeks having a bit of a go, really, at both levels of government around this tit for tat over extending support for businesses in Queensland. We've had the Palaszczuk government really banging on and on and on about the feds needing to extend JobKeeper, and the feds, particularly Treasurer Frydenberg, have, I guess, rightly pointed out that the feds really have done most of the heavy lifting. I mean, the billions and billions that they've spent, particularly on JobKeeper, has been a lifesaver for so many businesses. My next guest is the ideal person, really, to get some clarity and some common sense, I think, into this debate. Kate Carnell is the Australian Small Business and Family Enterprise Ombudsman. She's also was a former Chief Minister of the ACT, and I think she's on the line from Canberra. Kate, how are you?
Hi, Gavin. I'm also a Queenslander, so there you go.
Well, that's the most important.
Must be all right.
I should have said that first. Now, Kate, I've been very impressed with your very strong work in recent years as the National Ombudsman for Small Business and Family Enterprise, and I think it's really great to have someone in your role really just calling out, almost, but in a very measured and fair way, just calling out when governments at all levels need to be called out. And you've done that again, I think, very, very well, mainly in the context of Victoria, where they had that snap lockdown recently. But could you just talk to me about your thoughts on the divide between what state governments have done to support business through COVID versus what the feds have done?
Look, Gavin, you know, the great dilemma here is the feds have picked up the load, really, between JobKeeper, but also the cash flow boost that that businesses have all got if they were, you know, trading enterprises. There's a whole range of smaller benefits that the feds have made available. Now, the states have come to the party too at some level, but I'd have to say not nearly to the extent that the federal government has. And you made the point about Victoria, and I think this is a really good one. The recent 5-day lockdown in Victoria over the Valentine's Day, Lunar New Year weekend, you could imagine how many businesses lost a lot of money. I had a wedding event planner who also does catering. She had two weddings planned over that weekend. The government locked down at lunchtime on Friday. All of the catering was already done. The flowers were already done. Everything was already hired. Everything was ready to go. And, of course, that particular small business lost it all. And the government gave her $2,000 or $2,500 in compensation. I think that state governments, you know, who have made the decision on border closures, on other things, have to really understand the ramifications of those decisions and the actual real cost to lots of businesses of those decisions, and not expect the federal government to pick up the tab fundamentally for their decisions.
Mm. Well, that's exactly right. And I guess my bugbear is that, you know, small businesses, through no fault of their own, because borders have been closed or there have been these snap lockdowns, through no fault of their own, as you said, their livelihoods have been ripped to pieces. And yet the response or the corresponding support for those business perhaps hasn't been there on a state level. Queensland, the latest, most recent figures show that Queensland per capita has provided the lowest amount of support for business across of all the states. What else, though, could state governments do? Is it about that direct compensation for businesses who are particularly impacted by their decisions? Are there other things you'd like to see state governments do that perhaps is their responsibility versus what the feds can do?
Look, Gavin, the point of state governments is to be in the service delivery area for their own people. In other words, state governments, you know, I was, as you said, Chief Minister of the ACT, so I know it well, argue that they're closer to their people, they understand what people in their states really, really need. And so, you know, based upon that, then it's really up to the state government to come to the party with the sort of support that is needed. And it'll be different in different places. Like, North Queensland is unique, there's no doubt, because it's relied so heavily on international tourists flying into the, you know, Cairns International Airport, And the sort of services, the sort of things that international tourists want to spend money on is a little different from what locals want to spend money on. So possibly some of the things that the Queensland government could do is financially support Cairns businesses to pivot, change their offering, and so on, to be more aimed at domestic tourists, so those sorts of things. And I'm this is off the top of my head, but I'm saying a state government is in a position to do that and look at the things that desperately need to happen and be funded for the businesses in those particular areas or in those particular parts of business, or the particular parts of the business arena. You know, we know that travel agents are doing it incredibly tough. But I have to say, caterers are too. Businesses in CBDs are too.
It's the flow on. That's right. It's not just tourism operators in our part of the world. It's the whole flow on. You know, the whole economy is impacted. Kate, we've seen the almost unedifying spectacle this week of Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk and Federal Treasurer Jos Frydenberg. Really, a war of words erupted in the media all week. The Premier even to the point of saying, well, Frydenberg needs to make a trip to Cairns and talk to local operators. How do you deal and cope with a lot of this this kind of blame shifting, this tit for tat between governments? You've got to, I guess, walk a fine line and call them both out. Was the partisanship as bad when you were at the highest levels of state and territory government? Would you like to see things? Can things change?
Look, I think things have got worse in terms of partisanship, there's no doubt. But look, right now, the thing that matters are there small businesses, small to medium businesses, businesses who have been successful and profitable for years and years and years through no fault of their own, are now facing bankruptcy, you know, facing closure. That's not okay. It's not okay for them, and it's not okay for their staff. And one thing I think that politicians forget is for most businesses, the loans to their businesses are secured against their house. If they lose their business, that's not all they lose. They lose, you know, their house, and often, you know, that's a domino effect for those businesses. This is serious, and so it's not okay for it to be, you know, a punch-up between levels of government. But it's also not a matter just for the federal government. State governments are supposed to be closer to their people, understand what's needed, and have to be willing to put their hand in their pocket to support businesses. And North Queensland's a perfect example. You know, that's an area, Cairns and the North Queensland area, will be fine again when international borders are open. So how do we get more domestic tourists to North Queensland, and how do we help businesses tailor their offering to domestic tourists rather than international tourists, which isn't as simple as it sounds, by the way. So there's things that you can think you could do, and it's not just, of course, you know, tourist operators. It's the whole Cairns economy. I have to say I have a deep and, you know, meaningful understanding of this because I had a pharmacy in Cairns during the pilots dispute back in 1989.
Well, you know it. Yeah, you know it firsthand.
So, you know, we know what happened to Cairns back then. And, you know, this is the dilemma. Cairns is dramatically affected and the surrounding areas, of course, when this sort of thing happens. So we've got to, all levels of government have got to be willing to get behind the operators and give them the support they need, which will be financial, but it also might be in other areas like removing government impediments, red tape, helping them restructure their businesses appropriately, all of those sorts of things, because these are businesses that are going to be fine again. You know, they're good businesses, they're viable in the longer term. It's just not going to be all that crash hot for the next 6 months or so.
I had the ABC's financial guru, Alan Kohler, on the show last week, and we talked a little bit about what could the feds do to extend some form of JobKeeper. perhaps by another name and obviously much more targeted, particularly for the tourism industry. Now, Alan spoke about an old Whitlam government program, regional economic development scheme, something like that, where councils were actually funded to deliver projects that were relevant to their community, but it provided employment for those who had lost their job. And obviously there will be, people are talking about hundreds of job losses once JobKeeper ends for our tourism industry at the end of this month. Have you got any thoughts, Kate, on how could the feds extend a more targeted support for industries such as tourism beyond this deadline at the end of this month? How can they possibly roll it out? Because the challenge is, as we've touched on, is that a tourism operator who goes to the reef is obviously impacted by these border closures and the pandemic, but it's the mechanic who services the cars of the employees who work at the reef operator. The flow-on effect is massive. So do you do it post-code
boat? The caterer provide the
caterers.
Provides the food to go on the boat to go out to the reef. You know,
How do they roll that out, though? Is it a postcode by postcode thing? Is it an industry-wide thing? Any thoughts on what could the feds do to extend beyond this end of March deadline for JobKeeper?
It's two approaches. One is location. So Cairns and North Queensland is clearly a location. It's an area of Australia that needs to be supported through this. Going to be fine in the end, but it's going to take a bit of time until borders, international borders are reopened, and even domestic tourists are confident that they can hop on a plane and actually be able to go home without spending 2 weeks in quarantine. So we've got to accept that North Queensland is a particular case, so it's got to be treated as a location, and all of the businesses that can show that their turnover is 30% down, as is the case for JobKeeper, I think should be able to continue to get wage subsidy or support directly. Other parts of Australia, it's particular industries that travel agents, those sorts of things, who are going to continue to be affected. CBDs in major cities are another area. Melbourne has still only got 25% of its people back in the CBD. I think Sydney's doing the best, and they're at still under 50%, 48% last month. So all of the businesses that rely on people working in offices are another location that needs support. We've also suggested something called a revenue contingent loan to small businesses to businesses that need cash flow. And what that is something a bit like HECS, where you can get a loan, but you don't pay it back until your revenue is over, say 80% of it was pre-COVID, and the interest rate is sort of government-based interest rates, so really low interest rates based upon what the government can get, like 2%, those sorts of things. We think that for businesses that lose JobKeeper, they're going to have cash flow problems, and they're going to need to have access to affordable capital that they don't have to pay back until they've got the revenue that would allow them to do so.
And are you getting any traction?
The approach is good.
Are you getting any traction on that idea? It's a great idea.
Treasury's looking at it. They've been looking at it for a little while, so I hope they look at it really, really seriously over the next couple of weeks. Because we think that, businesses would take the risk of taking a revenue contingent loan if they knew they didn't have to pay it back until they were in a position to do so and that the interest was really low.
These are the type of solutions that we need. And Kate Carnell, I know you have a massive job as the nation's small business ombudsman, but if you can push our case in Canberra where it matters, if you can push being a former business owner in Cairns, if you can really push our case, because there are businesses who, as you said, perfectly great businesses were operating fine, but through no fault of their own, they're on their knees. Kate Carnell, it's a great pleasure to have you on the King Review.
Thanks very much, Gavin.